during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And now, not to abbreviate the service, we will have both the anthem and the children's message. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus Christ was no stranger to temptation. Though he was perfect man, sinless in every way, Jesus faced more evil, more temptation in a short lifespan of 33 years than any other person who has ever lived. Christ, as I just mentioned to the children, Christ was God in flesh, the center of the saving work of the Heavenly Father. All the forces of hell were arrayed against him from the beginning of his ministry until his end. Jesus constantly encountered temptation, almost overwhelming temptation. In all points, says Scripture, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knew the lure of temptation. He knew its seductive pull, its sublime way of tugging at the affections of the heart. Of all people on the face of the earth, Jesus recognized the power of temptation, the danger of its pull. And therefore, he taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Most men and women today do not realize the peril of temptation. Oscar Wilde, the brilliant playwright and religious skeptic of almost two centuries ago, heard a group of men discussing the question of temptation. He said to them with a sneer, "I have an easy way of getting rid of temptation. I simply yield to it." People say if it feels good, do it. Yield to it. They say different strokes for different folks. So do what comes naturally. In other words, yield to temptation. Give in. Don't resist. This is a seductive philosophy. It draws people in and absorbs them, carried to its ultimate conclusion, to its logical resolution. This philosophy leads to total passion and self-destruction. It is the teaching of much of the world today, and it is the teaching of Satan. We live in a satanic age. If there were ever a time when we needed to pray what our Lord has taught us, it is now. Oh, Father, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Today's scripture from Luke chapter 4 presents a picture of Jesus facing his greatest temptation. What is that? It was the temptation to abandon the mission and purpose of God. God's plan for Christ was unlike his plan for any other human being. Christ was born to die. Everyone else who ever came into this world came into it to live. You and I came into this world to live. Socrates came into this world to live. The hemlock juice which ended his life interrupted his teaching. But that poison was not the end of Socrates' life. For Jesus, his death was the reason for his coming. It was the goal he needed to accept, to affirm. The temptation that Jesus faced, which Satan presented to him throughout his ministry, was the temptation to abandon the cross. It was the temptation to take the easier way, which would require no sacrifice. At the beginning of his public life, the Lord was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And the three temptations of Satan were three shortcuts for winning the world without the cross. What was the first temptation? The first temptation was an appeal to the emotional and physical. Follow your desires, whatever they may be. Follow them. Christ was hungry. He had been fasting for 40 days. Hunger is an instinct. It is part of your emotional and physical well-being. You need food. Human beings have other instincts, sexual instincts, power instincts, aggressive instincts. Some of these instincts must be allowed to have their outlet. And so Satan said, satisfy yourself. Don't use restraint. If you're hungry, give yourself bread. Satisfy yourself in any biological way you please. But do not go to the cross. The second escape from the cross was social. Satan said, if there is anything that people love, it is excitement. It is wonder. Entertain the crowds. Whip up their enthusiasm. Perform some spectacular feat. Aristotle once said that all philosophy begins with that which makes a person say, oh, do something exciting. Defy the law of gravity. Fly to the moon. Or, if you please, defy gravity in another way. Throw yourself down from the temple. Crowds will gather. That is the way to win people, social excitement, wonder. A third shortcut from the cross which Satan proposed was political. Was Satan lying, or was he telling a truth when he said, as it were, holding a silver ball, the glittering earth, in his hands? All these kingdoms are mine. They're mine. And I will give them to you if, falling down, you will simply adore me. Real power in the world is political. Do not deal with sin. Deal with political disorder and forget that sin is the cause of it. And then you will win the world. And so, Satan tempted our Lord to abandon the cross at the very beginning of his public life. And later in his ministry, Satan tempted our Lord again with the words of one of his closest disciples. Peter confessed Jesus as the Son of God. And then Jesus explained that as the Son of God, he would have to go to Jerusalem. There in Jerusalem to die. In reaction, Peter said, "Oh, no, 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 this shall not be. Do not go to Jerusalem." Peter was very willing to have, like most of us, a divine Christ, but not willing to have a suffering Christ. Our Lord turned to Peter and rebuked him, saying, "Get behind me. Do not try to lead me. I am your Lord. I lead you. Get behind me, Satan." Satan? Hadn't Jesus just declared Peter blessed? The Lord declared, "You are Peter. Your confession is the rock upon which I will build my church." Why now does Jesus call Peter his greatest adversary? He calls him Satan. Because Peter was tempting the Lord to abandon the cross. And then at the very end of our Lord's life, as he hung on the cross, unfurled like a wounded eagle, men came beneath that cross and shouted, "Come down! Come down from that cross, and then we will believe." Believe? Yes, they would believe. They would believe anything. Only come down. But he did not come down. Because if he had come down, he would never have saved us. It would have been human to come down. It was divine to hang there. And therefore, the Lord's life revolved around the cross. And the worst enemy of Christ is that which would draw him and draw us away from the cross. Christ's greatest temptation is also ours. That is to fall away from the sacrifice, to draw back from commitment, to forsake the cross. O sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thy only crown. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinner's gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever. And should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, lead us not into temptation. Show us our purpose. Show us what sacrifices we must make. Show us the cross, and let us not be tempted to forsake it. Yes, deliver us from evil. In the name of our Savior, we do pray. Amen.